만세코프투베스차 크리페첸두바이브차 디트남보디나두바이시밀비오노모노마. recounting how Maharaj Prithu has become carnated, and he immediately begins the state duties. And the primary duty of the king, or the ruler of the monarch, is to make sure that at least everyone has enough food to eat. The second duty, practically speaking, is to make sure that everyone is engaged. Engaged means meaning that they're acting according to their prescribed duty. Everyone is working. If one doesn't have food, one will be weak and cannot work. But if one has food and has some strength, one can work, and by the strength of one's work, one will get more food, and therefore he can exist. So Prithu Maharaj understood that the earth wasn't supplying food. Why? Because, and the earth later, as we heard yesterday, explained it, is because the food grains, the seeds, because food grains are basically seeds. When we look at the characteristics, the distinguishing characteristics of a food grain, such as rice or wheat, they're basically seeds, and they are planted in the earth and they produce more wheat and rice, etc. So when these grains are meant specifically to be offered in sacrifice to the Lord, and Vena, King Vena, the father and predecessor of Prithu Maharaj, had stopped all sacrifices. So Jagyavai Vishnu means that jagya, or sacrifices, are meant for the pleasure of Krishna, Vishnu, the Lord. So when Krishna is satisfied by the sacrifices, there is such prosperity. And if one doesn't offer sacrifice or offer things back to Krishna through the Vedic sacrifices, which also satisfy the demigods, then gradually there'll be great poverty, there'll be great famine, pestilence, war, etc. in the world. So the people were hungry. So Maharaj Prithu first, very strongly, if we remember his methodology of strongly convincing the earth that that she should produce grains, he basically took out his sword. And even though she was a she, a female, and in the form of a cow, still he was prepared to kill her, to force her to produce the grains, do her duty of producing the grains. And she explained to him that the reason why I have not been producing the grains, the earth hasn't produced the grains, why? Is because the non-devotees, they were using the grains not for sacrifice, as they're supposed to be meant. They were using them for their own selfish purposes, and therefore I have inhibited the production of the grains. But you can get these grains from me through the proper agents, using the proper methods, basically of sacrifice. And in this way, as we heard yesterday in the previous chapter, Maharaj Prithu set the standard by him using his cupped hands and Swayambhuva Manu as the calf to evoke the affection of the earth. So all the foodstuffs were produced, and then one by one the different living entities gained or got the whatever they needed to subsist in the world. So the food was there. And Maharaj Prithu, unlike Vena Maharaj, he began to perform sacrifices for the pleasure of the Lord. He leveled the earth also. So There's so much instruction in this chapter, practical instruction about what life is like. So we'll read it. So first, Maitreya was explaining this all to Vidura. He said, King Prithu initiated the performance of 100 horse sacrifices at the spot where the river Saraswati flows towards the sea. Now the horse sacrifice, it shows how he is the ruler who performs the sacrifice. He is the predominating king in the world. Only he can perform it. And what this sacrifice does, it brings great piety to the performer. And one who performs this sacrifice, especially many times, Prithu Maharaj started to perform 100 of these Aswamedha sacrifices. It increases his piety so much that he can, what? Maintain his position. And it will very easily and with great piety. Because it is not only through one's hard work and endeavor or a military force that one maintains a powerful position in this world. One needs a particular type of piety to do it. And we see when someone has that piety, even though enemies may attack him in so many ways, they can't remove him from his position. If someone has that piety, either they attack him physically through armed weaponry or through some judicial process or some other process. They can't remove him. And if someone doesn't have that kind of piety, then somehow or another he'll fall from either the favor of the people or the favor of the politicians or the favor of the moneyed forces or some armies, they'll knock him right out. So what gives one the power to stay in his position? And this is true in all positions in the world, what to speak of the leaders of countries. What gives them the power? People nowadays think it's only personal power, or money, or strength, or armies. But no, it is actually piety. And in the Vedic systems, they knew how to actually stay or to gain their material wants and needs. They knew all these things, how to do it by the proper means. This was the earth's complaint. Hare Krishna. The earth, if we remember in the previous chapter, complained that the people were following non-prescribed methods of gaining their needs and their happiness. And this was creating havoc. And perhaps the best example of this, or one of the examples of this that's so clear, is specifically the methods of farming in the world. People use the petrochemical fertilizers, and they by using them, they take out every bit of nourishment from the soil. This is not Krishna's method. It is an impious method of trying to squeeze some pleasure from the earth. And the result will ultimately is more poverty, less food. So in every sphere of activities nowadays, people are trying to get wealth. So instead of having a proper kind of wealth and a proper kind of economy, it's based on paper and plastic. Trying to outdo the methodology of Krishna, the result will ultimately be great poverty because it is improper methodology. So in the Vedic culture, they used piety. And we see that everyone is more wealthy according to everyone's conception. Everyone is so wealthy nowadays, and we've made so much progress. But that type of wealth doesn't make anyone happy even. So people may have all their desires fulfilled, but they gain no happiness from it. Because of using, again, improper methodology. And every aspect of society, every aspect of society is riddled with the imperfections of people trying to be happy using their own plans, and the result is no happiness and increased anxiety. So Prita Maharaj performed sacrifices to increase the piety. If he was pious, he would be able to stay in power. And why did he want to stay in power? Because he had to rule for the benefit of the citizens, and he needed the prerequisite piety to do so, or he was setting the example for other kings. And so the land would become prosperous because the citizens would share in his success. So he began to perform 100 horse sacrifices at the spot where the river Saraswati flows towards the east. This piece of land is known as Brahmavarta, and it was controlled by Swayam Jivamana. When the most powerful king, Indra, the king of heaven, saw this, he considered the fact that King Prithu was going to exceed him in fruitive activities, because Indra was famous for having performed 100 horse sacrifices. Indra is the leader of all the demigods, the king of heaven, as we usually call him. The king of heaven is always afraid, because everyone in this material world is afraid. Why? What is the basis of our being in the material world? And that, if we understand that, we'll understand why everyone must, by definition, be afraid. Is that we have an enjoying spirit. We want to be the enjoyer. We want to squeeze pleasure from the material circumstances. This is the root cause of our material existence, and it is the root cause of fear. Bhayam vitiya vinaveshita syad. Vishad apetasya viparyato smriti. And because of this, seeing things, we want to be the enjoyer, that means we're seeing ourselves as separate from Krishna. That is the basic duality, bhayam dvitiya, and it causes fear. So as soon as we see ourselves or anything separate from Krishna, immediately fear enters the heart. Fear that we will not be able to enjoy as we plan. And that just is what Indra was fearing. So he feared that Prithu Maharaj was going to exceed him, and what would have more piety than him by performance of these sacrifices. And then what was he afraid of? Well, he could overtake his position, that Prithu Maharaj would become more famous than he, that he could crush him. So Indra could not tolerate the great sacrificial ceremonies performed by King Prithu. Purport. So what is that called when we see someone's success and we can't tolerate it and it causes fear in our heart? What is that called?
Envy.
Envy, jealousy. And it's the sum total of all material experiences, practically speaking, of all the illusions of the world, kam, krodh, moha, mada, and lobha, and matsarja, all the lust, anger, the greed, when you put all of them together, it ends in envy, where you cannot tolerate, because there you are, an illusion, there I am, thinking that I'm the greatest. And then as soon as I see someone who has something that I don't have, I can't tolerate that, because my whole illusion that I'm the greatest will crumble, and I feel a spear piercing my heart, and that spear of intolerable feeling, someone is doing something better than me, or has more than I have, ability, this, that, knowledge, anything. Envy enters the heart. It's already there, really, because it's based on envy of Krishna. So Indra had to suffer this emotion. And what is the cause of this? Again, enmity with Krishna, turning our back on Krishna, not acknowledging that we are Krishna's servant, and we have to suffer envy, jealousy. Prabhupada's purport. In the material world, everyone who comes to enjoy himself or lord it over material nature is envious of others. And that is everyone. Because everyone is here for that reason, turning our back on Krishna. Krishna bhule se jeevan adibahi mukh. This envy is also found in the personality of the King of Heaven, whose name is Indra. As evident from revealed scriptures, Indra was several times envious of many persons. He was especially envious of great fruitive activities in the execution of yoga practices or siddhis. Indeed, he could not tolerate them, and he desired to break them up. Anytime Indra saw someone who was becoming exalted through the practice of yoga and gaining power, he sent one of his apsaras, or beautiful women, to break his yoga practice, that person's yoga practice, so he would fall down and he wouldn't gain the piety that could overthrow him. Indra was always envious in this way. Topmost position, practically speaking, in the material world. That shows us that as long as we have an enjoying spirit, and therefore we are fearful, that it doesn't make a difference what we have, even if we possess the entirety of the world, we will still be afraid and envious of someone who has anything that we think may either threaten our position, or he may have something that we may think is better than something that we have. So Indra, this envy, which is really suffering, it afflicted him. He was envious due to fear that those who perform great sacrifices for the execution of mystic yoga might occupy his seat. Since no one in the material world can tolerate another's advancement, everyone in the material world is called Matsarja, envious. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is therefore said that Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are completely Namatsara, non-envious, near Matsarya. Matsara, envy. Near Matsara, non-envious. So why is Srimad Bhagavatam near Matsaranam Satam? It's because it is written on the platform of our teaching us, or written on the platform of ourselves, the soul being Krishna's servant. That means the very root of envy has been uprooted, removed. In other words, one who is not free from the contamination of envy cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. So in other words, if we have envy in the heart, or in other words, if we have envy of Krishna, or if in other words, we haven't fully accepted ourselves as Krishna's servant, we cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. So how does one in Krishna consciousness view someone who excels him if he's not envious? In Krishna consciousness, if someone excels another person, the devotee who is excelled thinks how fortunate the other person is to be advancing in devotional service. Such non-envy is typical of Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha literally means where there is no anxiety. So as long as one has envy in the heart, there will always be anxiety. However, when one is envious of his competitor, that is material. That means, envious means we don't wish them well. We wish them harm, wish to break them up, pull them down. We wish harm to them, so that as if that was going to make us better. The demigods posted in the material world are not exempt from envy. Text 3. So Indra couldn't tolerate that Prithu Maharaj was going to perform so many sacrifices. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is present in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, and he is the proprietor of all planets and the enjoyer of all the results of all sacrifices. He was personally present at the sacrifice made by King Prithu, sacrifices. So Lord Vishnu was there while Prithu was performing his sacrifices. And to show us how, where envy really comes from, what the root of envy is, we can imagine If we think of something that if someone had, we would think, oh, I wish I had that, and I wish he didn't have it, if we were envious. And we feel envious of that. Think of something like that. And know that if someone in this world possesses that thing or those things that we don't have, that strike at our heart, or that we think that they have something more than us and we feel envy. Just imagine how much Krishna has of that thing. So a teeny human being in this world may have an eighth of a drop of some opulence which is given to him by Krishna. But Krishna possesses all opulence. He is known as Bhagavan. Possesses all opulence. So how envious we must be of Krishna. If we can be envious of some puny fellow in the material world who has something that we don't have, how envious when Krishna displays his opulences, how envious we get. How envious. So Krishna was present at the sacrifice of Maharaj Prithu from Prabhupada's purport. The Lord is so kind that he takes all miserable conditions away from his devotees. Consequently, he is called Hari. Hari means he who takes away. He is described as Ishara because he can do whatever he likes. He is the supreme controller. The supreme Ishwara, Purushottam, is Lord Krishna. He exhibits his power as Ishwara, or the supreme controller, when he reassures his devotee in Bhagavad Gita, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. He can immediately make his devotee immune from all the reactions caused by sinful life if the devotee simply surrenders unto him. He is described herein as Sarvatma, meaning that he is present in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, and as such he is the supreme teacher of everyone. If we are fortunate enough to take the lessons given by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, our lives immediately become successful. No one can give better instructions to human society than Lord Krishna. Text 4. When Lord Vishnu appeared in the sacrificial arena, which is really the success of sacrifices, because again, sacrifices are meant to please the Lord. They call him by the desire of the devotee. The Lord appears, he comes. So that's actually the sacrifice. It means he's satisfied. So Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the chief predominating personalities of every planet, as well as their followers, came with him. When he appeared on the scene, the residents of Gandhava Loka, the great sages, and the residents of Apsara Loka all praised him. The Lord was accompanied by the residents of Siddhaloka and Vidyadharaloka, all the descendants of Diti, and the demons and the yakshas. He was also accompanied by his chief associates, headed by Sunanda Nanda. Great devotees were always engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as well as the great sages named Kapila, Narada, Dattatreya, and the masters of all mystic powers headed by Sanat Kumar all attended the great sacrifice with Lord Vishnu. My dear Vidur, in that great sacrifice the entire land came to be like the milk-producing Kamadenu, and thus by the performance of Jagya all daily necessities for life were supplied. So Krishna came, and when the most exalted person comes, then everyone else who is wonderful also comes because they wish to be with him. So the sages, the demigods, they all came to the sacrifice as well. And in this verse, text 7, Maitreya is explaining to Vidura that because of the sacrifice performed by Prithu Maharaj, the land became like the milk-producing Kamadenu. That means it produces unlimited supply of what is required. Because Prithu Maharaj got the earth producing again. And thus, by the performance of Jagya, sacrifice, all daily necessities of life were supplied. So no one was starving, no one was hungry. The earth was bountiful. producing everything because the sacrifices were again performed. Here is from about a third of the way down into Prabhupada's purport. Yajna means Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sacrifice means working for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, however, it is very difficult to find qualified Brahmins who can perform sacrifices as prescribed in the Vedas. So there are many different methods of pleasing Vishnu. And the Vedic methods of sacrifice is a method for a different age. In this age, the proper participants cannot be found anywhere. So does that mean that sacrifice can't be performed? Therefore, because the proper Brahmins aren't there, it is recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yajyar Sankirtana Prayar, that by performing Sankirtan Yajna, the congregational chanting of the holy names, and by satisfying the Yajna Purusha, the personified person of the sacrifice, who is the Lord, Lord Chaitanya, one can derive all the results derived by great sacrifices in the past. King Prithu and others derived all the necessities of life from the earthly planet by performing great sacrifices. Now this Sankirtan movement has already been started by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. People should take advantage of this great sacrifice and join in the society's activities. Then there will be no scarcity. And if Sankirtan Yajna is performed, there will be no difficulty, not even in industrial enterprises. Therefore, this system should be introduced in all spheres of life, social, political, industrial, commercial. Then everything will run peacefully and smoothly. So one can assume that this is the lack. When there is a lack in the world or anywhere, according to this verse and purport, the lack is of one thing, Sankirtan Yajna. So that means the lack will go away if the sacrifice of Sankirtan is offered for whose pleasure? For the pleasure of the Lord. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. How the Sankirtan will, if it's increased, it will be victorious in the material world. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So here's something about the results of performing these sacrifices. The flowing rivers supplied all kinds of tastes, sweet, pungent, sour, etc. And very big trees supplied fruit and honey in abundance. The cows, having eaten sufficient green grass, supplied profuse quantities of milk, curd, clarified butter, and similar other necessities. King Prithu was presented with various gifts from the general populace and predominating deities of all planets. The oceans and seas were full of valuable jewels and pearls, and the hills were full of chemicals and fertilizers. Four kinds of edibles were produced profusely. Here's Prabhupada's purport to text 8, talking about what happens when Sankirtan, or when the Yajna, when the Lord is satisfied by Yajna. If rivers are not polluted and are allowed to flow in their own way, or sometimes allowed to flood the land will become very fertile and able to produce all kinds of vegetables, trees, and plants. The word rasa means taste. Actually, all rasas are tastes within the earth. And as soon as seeds are sown in the ground, various trees sprout up to satisfy our different tastes. For example, sugar cane provides its juices to satisfy our taste for sweetness. And oranges provide their juice to satisfy our taste for a mixture of the sour and the sweet. Similarly, there are pineapples and other fruits. At the same time, there are chilies to satisfy our taste for pungency. Although the earth's ground is the same, different tastes arise due to different kinds of seeds. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bijam Mam Savabhutanam, I am the original seed of all existence. Therefore, all arrangements are there. As stated in the Ishopanishad, Purnamidam, complete arrangements for the production of all the necessities of life are made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People should therefore learn how to satisfy the Jagya Purusha, the Lord, Lord Vishnu. Indeed, the living entity's prime business is to satisfy the Lord, because the living entity is part and parcel of the Lord. So who in this world thinks like that? That my main business is to satisfy God. That is Bhagavad Dharma, that is surrender. To act in such a way that he will be pleased. Who thinks like that? Everyone in illusion has themselves at the center of existence, and therefore in illusion we suffer. This is the root cause of our suffering. This is the consciousness upon which our false ego is built, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. That's our real ego. Thus, the whole system is so arranged that the living entity must do his duty, this is the Vedic system, as he is constitutionally made. Without doing so, all living entities must suffer. This is the law of nature. The word taravo, buri, barsmana indicates very luxuriantly grown big-bodied trees. The purpose of these trees was to produce honey and varieties of fruit. In other words, the forest also has its purpose in supplying honey, fruits, and flowers. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, due to an absence of jagya, there are many big trees in the forest, but they do not supply sufficient fruit and honey. Thus, everything is dependent on the performance of jagya. The best way to perform jagya in this age is to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. So Prabhupada's deep shraddha, faith in this, and his deep desire to spread Sankirtan all over the world, that was the cause of the Krishna consciousness movement spreading all over the world. He infused, inspired so many devotees by his own personal deep conviction and faith and his personal potency. So King Prithu, now the topic changes from the result of the sacrifice, which was great natural opulences all over the world. Have you ever been to anyone's house, or where they've really cultivated the gardens and there are fruit trees and blossoms and fruit on the trees and flowers everywhere? Raise your hand if you've been to a house that's been really cultivated like that. So how do you feel when you... What are you doing here?
I got kicked out.
But they didn't leave you your name when they kicked you out, huh? They gave you a new name.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What is that name?
Lily
Pasadena. Well, that's a nice name. So what is the feeling that you get if you go to someone's house or land that's been cultivated like that?
Opulence.
Yeah. What else?
You will enjoy it.
Stop being so honest. What else do you feel?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Immediately your consciousness is uplifted. Wow, this is so wonderful. And then you want to enjoy it. No, but you're already enjoying acting, just being there. Just being there in an opulent situation, the consciousness is uplifted so much. So, King Prithu was dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was known as Adhokshaja. Because King Prithu performed so many sacrifices, he was superhumanly enhanced by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. How would you like to be superhumanly enhanced? It sounds... Sounds quite interesting, doesn't it? What's enhanced? What word usually comes before enhanced nowadays?
Beauty?
Huh?
Performance enhanced.
Yes, it's performance enhanced. What does that mean?
Works better.
It works better.
It's quantitative rather than quality.
But superhumanly enhanced by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. We're actually all meant to be superhumanly enhanced. This is when the soul combines with the Lord's internal energy, Ladini Sambit, then we become superhumanly enhanced by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, based on a serving mood. King Prithu's opulence, however, could not be tolerated by the King of Heaven, Indra, who tried to impede the progress of his opulence. So just the mentality, if you walk into that person's garden that's so beautiful and it's nicer than yours, wait a second, something's wrong here. I think there should be a fire or something. Envy may enter the heart. When Prithu Maharaj was performing the last horse sacrifice, because Indra had done 100 and Prithu Maharaj was on his 100th, he had just completed his 99th, King Indra, invisible to everyone, stole the horse intended for sacrifice. He did this because of his great envy of King Prithu. So he became invisible and took the horse away to stop the sacrifice. What do you think about that?
It's just not fair.
Oh, it's not fair. You know something, son? The whole world is like that. When King Indra was taking away the horse, he dressed himself to appear as a liberated person. Well, that's not fair, is it? No. Actually, this dress was a form of cheating, for it falsely created an impression of religion. When Indra went into outer space in this way, the great sage Atri saw him and understood the whole situation. Here's Prabhupada's purport. So Atri Muni saw that Indra, taking the dress of a spiritual person, flew away in the form of a spiritual person with the horse meant for the sacrifice. But although he was externally like a spiritual person, internally his heart was full of what? Envy, which is the exact opposite of spirituality. When the son of King Prithu was informed by Atri Muni could see this, no one else noticed it because he was invisible. Indra went invisible. So when the son of King Prithu was informed by Atri of King Indra's trick, he immediately became very angry. Atrina chodita hantum. Atrina means Atri, by the sage Atri, Chodita, being encouraged, Hantum, to kill Prithu Putra, the son of King Prithu, Maharata. So the great warrior, the Maharata, the son of King Prithu, was encouraged to kill Indra. Because Atri Muni saw him. Ava Davata Sankrudas, Tishta Tishteti. And he followed him. He became very angry. He followed him, saying, Tishta! Tishta! Just wait! Just wait! You're running from me! Just wait! I want to kill you. Yeah, he wanted to kill him, but he wouldn't kill him from behind because he was a Kshatriya. He had integrity. Here is Prabhupada's purport. The word tista tista used by a kshatriya when he challenges his enemy. When fighting, a kshatriya cannot flee from the battlefield. However, when a kshatriya out of cowardice flees from the battlefield, showing his back to his enemy, he is challenged with the words tista tista. Wait, wait, turn around. A real kshatriya does not kill his enemy from behind, nor does a real kshatriya turn his back on the battlefield. According to kshatriya principles and spirit, one either attains victory or dies on the battlefield. Although King Indra was very exalted, being the king of heaven, he became degraded due to his stealing the horse intended for sacrifice. Therefore he fled without observing the kshatriya principle. And the son of Prithu had to challenge him with the words tishta, tishta. Text 14. King Indra was fraudulently dressed as a sannyasi, having knotted his hair on his head and smeared ashes all over his body. Upon seeing such dress, the son of King Prithu considered Indra a religious man and a pious sannyasi. Therefore, he did not release his arrows. He didn't shoot him because he was dressed as a sannyasi. When Atri Muni saw that the son of King Prithu did not kill Indra, but returned, deceived by him, and if we remember correctly, Prithu Maharaj, when the earth, what form did the earth take to gain the sympathy, thinking that Prithu Maharaj would not kill her? What form did she take? A cow. And what did Prithu Maharaj say? Was he fooled by that? Was he going to stop his righteous act? No, he said, I will cut you up and I'll feed you to the starving citizens. But the son of Prithu Maharaj, he was bewildered by this. He thought he's dressed as a sannyasi. He, on one side, so respectful of the sannyas order, of someone who is a renunciant, so respectful, but in this case possibly not appropriate. So when Atri Muni saw that the son of King Prithu did not kill Indra but returned deceived by him, Atri Muni again instructed him to kill the heavenly king, because he thought that Indra had become the lowest of all demigods due to his impeding the execution of King Prithu's sacrifice. So Atri Muni said, go back and kill him. He's degraded himself. By being thus informed, the grandson of King Vena immediately began to follow Indra. The grandson of King Vena is whose son?
Prithu.
Prithu, the son. He began to follow Indra, who was fleeing through the sky in great haste. He was very angry with him. The grand Prithu's son was angry with him. He chased him just as the king of vultures chased Ravana. What was the king of vultures' name who chased Ravana? Nityo. When Indra saw that the son of Prithu was chasing him, he immediately abandoned his false dress and left the horse. Indeed, he disappeared from that very spot. And the great hero, the son of Maharaj Prithu, returned the horse to his father's sacrificial arena. My dear Lord Vidura, Maitreya Muni is telling this wonderful pastime, when the great sages observed the wonderful prowess of the son of King Prithu, they all agreed to give him the name of Vijitasra. Means he who has won the horse. My dear Vidura, Maitreya Muni is saying, Indra, being the king of heaven and very powerful, immediately brought a dense darkness upon the sacrificial arena. Covering the whole scene in this way, he again took away the horse, which was chained with golden shackles near the wooden instrument where animals were sacrificed. Now I'm going to go back and read the purport where Prabhupada speaks. And we first heard that Indra had adopted the dress of a sannyasi, but his heart was full of envy. So this is text 12. We'll read the purport. The word pakanda used in this verse is sometimes pronounced pashanda. Both of these words indicate an imposter who presents himself as a very religious person, but in actuality is sinful. Indra took up a saffron-colored dress as a way of cheating others. The saffron dress has been misused by many impostors who present themselves as liberated persons or incarnations of God. In this way, people are cheated. As we have mentioned many times, the conditioned soul has a tendency to cheat. Therefore, this quality is also visible in a person like King Indra. It is understood that even King Indra is not liberated from the clutches of material contamination. Thus the word amuktam ivam, meaning as if he were liberated, are used. The saffron dress worn by a sannyasi announces to the world that he has renounced all worldly affairs and is simply engaged in the service of the Lord. Such a devotee is actually a sannyasi or a liberated person. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Anashrita kama phalam karyam kama karotiya sa sannyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriya. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. In other words, one who offers the results of his activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually a sannyasi and yogi. Cheating sannyasis and yogis have existed since the time of Maharaj Prithu's sacrifice. This cheating was very foolishly introduced by King Indra. In some ages, such cheating is very magnified by the public. Sanyasira apachidra sarvalokikaya, a little spot in a sannyasi's character will be magnified by the public. Therefore, unless one is very sincere and serious, he should not take up the order of sannyas. One should not use this order as a means to cheat the public. It is better not to take up sannyas in this age of Kali, because provocations are very strong in this age. Only a very exalted person, advanced in spiritual understanding, should attempt to take up sannyas. One should not adopt this order as a means of livelihood or for some material purpose. So, the first of the cheating sannyasis once, or not the first, maybe he was the first, but Ravana also took up the form of a cheating sannyasi to take Sita away. And who was he chased by? Jatayu. So therefore the example was nicely made, the parallel was actually nicely made. So, for a second time, Indra brought dense darkness to the sun, and they took away the horse, which was chained with golden shackles near the wooden instrument where animals were sacrificed. The great sage Atri again pointed out to the son of King Prithu that Indra was fleeing through the sky. The great hero, the son of Prithu, chased him again. But when he saw that Indra was carrying in his hand a staff with a skull at the top, and was again wearing the dress of a sannyasi, he still chose not to kill him. When the great sage Atri again gave directions, the son of King Prithu became very angry and placed an arrow on his bow. Upon seeing this, King Indra immediately abandoned the false dress of a sannyasi, giving up the horse. He made himself invisible. Then the great hero, Vijayatasva, the son of King Prithu, again took the horse and returned to his father's sacrificial arena. Since that time, certain men with a poor fund of knowledge have adopted this false dress of a sannyasi. It was King Indra who introduced this. Okay. Can we read the next booklet? No, I'm just stop here. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? One thing I noted in this, so Prithu Maharaj, he was doing his duty And he was doing it so successfully, performing sacrifice. It was showing the way to bring great prosperity to the kingdom. He was pleasing the Lord. But yet, even if we are doing the right thing, there's always going to be people who are envious. Like Indra. So this pastime will be concluded in a wonderful way too, and we'll, if Krishna allows, we'll hear that tomorrow. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
Like Pitya Maharaj was performing the sacrifice, the Supreme Lord was personally present. But Pitya Maharaj was also incarnation of the Supreme Lord, right?
And Prabhupada explains that in the purport, that although Pitya Maharaj was an incarnation, he was an avatar, but he was a Shaktavesha avatar. He was a jiva soul who had been empowered by the Lord for ruling, empowered by Krishna's energy. So he being an incarnation of the Lord is different from when Lord Vishnu comes. One is a jiva and one is Vishnu Tattva, the Lord himself. Actually, Prabhupada explained that in the purport that I didn't read. Any other questions or comments? Yep. Oh yes. Too many.
Unlearning varieties, levels.
Yeah. They can, someone can be empowered to one degree or another. Yeah. Krishna Shakti Naivina Tapalottana. Unless there is Krishna Shakti, one cannot do what Prabhupada did. And if you're not convinced of that, you should try it. You should go and travel all around the world and start a Krishna consciousness movement and see how successful you are. Not easy. You have to be empowered. Yeah.
It's interesting how you said that Lord Indra, to have such a position, must have a lot of piety.
So much piety.
So how can someone who has so much piety still be envious of the Lord? Is there an explanation?
Yeah, as long as one's heart is not completely pure, that means that there is envy within the heart. And that envy necessarily is of the Lord, because that's the root of our being in the material world. So piety is not sufficient. One has to be completely pious or completely pure. Completely. The very root of the material condition has to be pulled from the heart. So piety can be a help towards that. But even Indra and the demigods, they are known as Sakam devotees. They are devotees of the Lord, but they have desires. So that means not pure yet. Was that clear?
I've just been reading something Prabhupada says on the same point with regard to Daksha.
Yeah.
These personalities are put into positions, and that Prabhupada says that in general, when one accepts a position, one is vulnerable to false prestige, which manifests envy.
Pride and envy. And of course these are all Krishna's pastimes too. So pure devotional service on the level of bhava bhakti, where one is more or less devoid of all false ego and living in real ego, his relationship with Krishna is sudolava, very rare. You had a question? Well, did you have a question? Didn't you raise your hand?
Me? No.
Oh,
I
thought so too. Maybe she was trying to stop the fan or something. Okay.
what did you mean by dualities in the beginning? You mentioned dualities.
Seeing, once you see something as separate from Krishna, you're not seeing the oneness of everything. You're seeing the duality or two. As soon as you see anything is separate from Krishna, then immediately one sees all dualities everywhere. That's, for instance, one day it's cold, and a pure devotee may experience the cold, but he also, he says, "Oh, Krishna has sent me this." So he doesn't see it as separate from Krishna. But when we see cold or experience cold, we see, I wish it was hot, I wish it was warm, and then when it's hot, we wish it was cold. So immediately there is a duality, because desire to enjoy, to be the center, immediately comes. So there are unlimited dualities. In fact, life, te dvanva moha vinaya muktam, it is the dualities that bind us in the material world and illusion us. And all living entities are born into duality. And it is this is good, this is bad, this is preferable, I want to push this away. This keeps us, this type of mood and mode keeps us bound in the material world, filled with so many desires. So, rich, poor, beautiful, ugly, this, good, bad, the whole world becomes... When we look, we see duality. As soon as there's duality, there's fear, and everything is seen opposite of the way it really is. So a devotee doesn't see like that, an actual devotee. So, clear? Okay. Scott, let's... Okay, let's... So tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we'll finish this chapter. What do you think will happen? Do you think Inju will escape with the horse this time? What do you think?
Well, I'm making the horse and butt until he gets his carrots.
Wrong again. Wrong again. That was a good catch. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Kirti Maharaj ki jai.